Welcome back, everybody. This is Dueling Tangents with Brian and Luke. Luke is off today. He's got a well-deserved day off, and a lot of you do as well. Happy MLK Day. We're talking about the great Martin Luther King Jr. I have an article I want to share with you, but first I love to go on tangents about the songs I play. This song is By the Time I Get to Arizona by Public Enemy. I actually had sushi one time with Chuck D. My buddy, I used to manage a sushi restaurant. I was the bar manager. My buddy was the house manager. And it was closed after hours, and he tells me to come over. Normally he just tells me to come over to have a drink. Then he comes out and drinks with me later. But this time he's like, no, just get here now. So I showed up, and it turns out that Chuck D was finishing a giant plate of sushi and needed a couple big dudes to sit down and talk to him about it. So I talked basketball with Chuck D for about 5 to 10 minutes. Felt a little awkward for a minute because, you know, it's Chuck D, and then had a great time. Nice dude. Great. Awesome. I met Chuck D once. Hooray for me. All right, so we're going to get into this article by Reggie Jackson here. This is published in the Milwaukee Independent. Now, Reggie Jackson is the he runs the Black Holocaust Museum, and he's been on this station several times. He and Maggie Dawn did a 6-part series on racism. I believe it's still on our website. If you go to devilradio927.com, if you type in the keywords Reggie Jackson or even the Maggie Dawn show, you should be able to pull those up. I believe she was even nominated for an award for it. Pretty darn great. Give you more information than I could possibly do so. But I always like to go to Reggie for, you know, perspective on things. And lest you wonder, why don't I have Reggie Jackson on? I was dealing with a flood earlier today. You know how we have, Luke and I like to have our bingo cards for 2022. I did not have a flood in the tower as one of the bingo card items, but that is what we dealt with this morning. So I did not put out my intended call to get my buddy Reggie Jackson on. So I will read his words either way because they are important. I really like this guy, and it's important to give his perspective. So I'm going to get into this piece. I may have to finish it on the other side of the break, but it's important to get these words out here because they're better than what I can say. And, you know, that's pretty much where I'm at with that. It's called Unwhitewashing MLK, Seeing a True Legacy That Heroification Has Kept Long Hidden. This is, again, I'm going to read excerpts from this. This is the Milwaukee Independent, and this is Reggie Jackson. When the famous words of Dr. King from the I Have a Dream speech began to be used by covertly and even overtly racist people to promote a new form of white domination, I know it's way past time that we reteach who Dr. King really was. The new, more intellectual, more cunning, more sneaky, more polished, less scary-looking, more friendly-looking racists are creatively using the words of the anti-white supremacy civil rights movement to win converts to their way of seeing the world. Don't be duped into believing they are anything other than wolves in sheep's clothing. Dr. King died a young man at just 39 years of age, but he was much older in his thoughts about the world he wanted to see. Unfortunately, the way we talk about and just as importantly teach about him has been stuck in August 28, 1963, in the collective memory of America. Most Americans cannot tell you the names of the subject matters of any of the other speeches he made other than the I Have a Dream speech and the one he gave the night before he was killed by an assassin's bullet. To be as famous as he is to be more understood than any other famous person I know of. He was a brilliant, courageous, dedicated, flawed human being. And again, this is reading the words of Reggie Jackson in the Milwaukee Independent. He was not a saint. He was far from perfect. However, we can clearly see by studying his words that he was, like all of us, a work in progress. He was more unpopular on the day that he died than at any time in his public life. Dr. King struggled with the reality that many who supported him had turned their backs on him. His radicalism, as some called it, might have been the reason he was killed. Not his radicalism related to racism, but his radicalism towards looking at America and calling it out for being the greatest purveyor of violence in the world. A statement I got to agree with. A statement that you only need to look at the priorities. I mean, people say a budget lays out priorities. Well, our budget makes clear that our priorities are, we're going to spend more on military defense than any of than the next 10 countries combined. So yeah, I think that's an accurate statement. Being the greatest purveyor of violence in the world. Most of us have heard about, you know, his famous speech in at the March on Washington. His other speeches and writings are mostly unknown by those who claim to love what he stood for. He's like many famous people. He's been turned into his this perfect hero in our history books. Here's a quote from James Baldwin. What passes for identity in America is a series of myths about one's heroic ancestors. That is true. I see things through the lens of pop culture and the way that I'm an actor, I'm an artist. I see things through, you know, the medium of movies, the medium of television, the medium of song. And so I always talk about, you know, stories and things like that. I see that people seem to be resonating with, you know, when they things like Game of Thrones. Why do you like Game of Thrones? It's all about, you know, sex and violence and they're destroying each other and all this stuff. Well, that's kind of what people would probably do. Things that are accurate, things that resonate with what human beings are. The reality of being that person, the reality that, you know, a hero is just somebody doing the thing that needs to be done at that moment in the middle of the thing. I mean, obviously we have 1,000 superhero movies to define that, and they keep trying to figure that out. What makes a good person? Because sometimes superheroes do bad things to be, you know, to create the greater good. You know, that's the dilemma that everybody works with. We always lionize and we always worship our heroes and turn them into these mythical things and forget that they were actual people and that we're actual people. And it goes back to the beginning. We try and figure out ways because that's how we, you know, deal with things. We the theory of relativity is that you can't necessarily judge something unless you base it based on relative to something else. And so it's nature for us to go and make things different. The problem is that when we act on it and do things in such a blanketed way, it turns into be bad things. Obviously, give us a call, 844-967-2789. We'll have more from Reggie Jackson's piece.